As Karen and I were preparing for this service, we were both struck by how well those two passages worked together. In the first, Jesus commissions the disciples, i.e. tells them what to do. And in the second, Peter gives some really helpful advice on how to do it. And that's why we thought on this occasion it made sense to hear the gospel first and then the epistle, the letter second. So I'm going to start by saying a few words about the gospel reading first. Now, you'll find that on page 32 in the New Testament part of your church Bible if you want to have a look at it. Golly, I think we could spend all day looking at this passage, and it would be worth it, I think. I mean, it really is fundamental, isn't it, to understanding that Jesus expects his disciples and us to continue the work that he himself came to start. This is how the Christian faith was to grow. And it's been a remarkably successful strategy, hasn't it, when you think about it? We saw when the children were with us how effectively we can share a message when we all play our part. That's really important. But today, from these very modest beginnings referenced in this gospel reading, 2,000 years ago, there are now well over 2 billion Christians in the world. So from that very small start, through using that approach, now well over 2 billion Christians in the world and growing. So a few things to note, to notice. The disciples had spent 3 years or so with Jesus and had seen his mission and his miracles at first hand. They'd come to believe that he was the Messiah, the Christ, the Saviour of the world. Yet it's recorded here that at least some of them had doubts. It says, isn't it? They doubted. Now, we're not told what they doubted, but you have to say it wasn't the best start, was it, if you think about it? They were ordinary people with ordinary lives, and now they're meeting with the risen Jesus on a mountainside to be told what to do next. They're commissioned to go and make disciples of all nations, not because they were good or highly educated or trained, but because each one had had life-changing encounters with Jesus, and each one was ready to serve. I have to say, don't you think it's amazing that Jesus didn't say, look, I can see that you have some doubts, so I'll choose someone else because this is such important work? He doesn't do that. He could still use them, doubts and all, to continue his work. And I'm sure this is included in the Bible to make sure that we know that God is aware of our doubts. And it doesn't mean he can't use us either. We just have to make ourselves available to him, doubts and all. And this is because he's not relying on us to do his work in our own strength, but in his strength, the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's a huge encouragement, isn't it? Just as we are, it's a huge encouragement. But Jesus, meanwhile, had absolutely no doubts, did he? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, he says in verse 18. He's about to give them a massive task, often called the Great Commission. And he needs them to know that he has the power not just to give them the commission, but also the power to help them carry it out. Their authority comes from the one who has authority over everything in heaven and on earth. And ours does too. Doesn't that make you just pause for thought? It certainly does me. And Jesus promises to be with them and us always to the end of the age. Verse 20. We're not in this on our own. He is in it with us. But what is it? Now, I'm not brilliant at learning off by heart, and I'd be absolutely no use at all as an actor, Gloria. I know that, not just because of my memory, but for many other reasons too. But I have committed the next two verses to memory because I think they are so important. And as you may remember, they were right at the heart of the vision that God gave us for St. Andrew's as well. So go therefore. Therefore is quite important as well, because I've got this authority. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, and that's important as well, remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And that little, those two verses are absolutely fundamental, aren't they, to the Bible, the next stage in the Bible story, and that's us. That message that was given to the disciples and has been shared so widely was a message for us. We now have to play our part too. And we're here today because originally 11 ordinary people whose lives have been changed by Jesus responded to the Great Commission, as we call it. And because so many years later, other ordinary people whose lives have been changed by the gospel of Jesus responded to that instruction too, to pass on the message. Now, when we were thinking about this in practice, Karen and I thought it would be good to hear from people in St. Andrews to find out how they first heard about Jesus. And that's why we came. Oh, you got a little sneak snippet there of what's to come. But that's why we came and filmed you, many of you, in life groups. And we're so grateful to everybody who was able to take part. Now, those who were filmed will recognise that we're sharing only a tiny little portion of what we recorded today. But we wanted to hear from something from at least everyone who'd contributed. And we're thinking about the best way of sharing more in due course. So we'll talk to you about that on another occasion. But for now, would you like to hear how everyone answered the question, how did you first hear about Jesus? Yes. You would? Thank goodness. It could be a very short talk otherwise, isn't it? So let's have a look and see what everybody said.
I will proclaim the glory of the risen Lord.
I was brought up in a family who took me to church.
My parents and my grandma.
From my parents, who are very religious, were
my son.
It's through my dad.
Well, my parents, my grandparents used to take me to church, and I remember hearing about the stories of Jesus through Sunday school.
Probably at school.
I'm sure it's probably when I first went to school.
The very first time I heard about Jesus was at Sunday school.
My parents took me to church and to Sunday school, and that's where I learnt about Jesus.
Well, first I heard was when I was 4 years old and I went to Methodist Sunday school in South Africa.
I was at Sunday school and I think I started Sunday school at about 3 or 4 years old. So that's where I would first have heard about the Lord.
I went to a church school when I was little and I heard about Jesus there.
From a very young age, my mom taught me to pray as a 4 or 5 year old. Say my prayers every night, and then after that I was sent off to Sunday school.
Well, I suppose my parents used to take me to church, until I was about six up in Lancashire.
I think for me it was a Sunday school.
I suppose when I was quite a small child, I was taken to Sunday school all the time, and my parents went to church a lot, so we went to church very regularly.
I can't remember, but it would almost certainly have been for my mother or my father as a small child.
I can't ever remember a time when I didn't hear about him, although I wasn't brought up in a Christian home.
Well, I was brought up in a Christian family.
And probably in a scripture or divinity lesson.
Well, I don't remember a time when I didn't know about Jesus. It was from the cradle.
As a child, when I was probably the earliest that I can remember, when I could remember things, because my Nana went to church, and so she was always singing hymns. She had the light of the world over her bed, and so I went to church with her.
As a small child, I suppose, because in those days we all went to Sunday school and everybody in school was taught stories about Jesus.
Well, when Joe and I were first courting, we used to go to a youth club and go to Evensong.
Oh, I think when I was a little girl.
I was very young and I went to Sunday school. I don't think it was particularly my parents. One of my aunts was very keen that we should go to Sunday school at the age of about five.
Oh, goodness, I've probably all my life, actually, or certainly since I've been at school, primary school. I went to a little C of E primary school.
As a very young child, I was sent to Sunday school, so learnt about Jesus through Sunday school lessons.
Well, I think I have a lovely aunt, and she, I'm sure, told me about Jesus. Well, probably my mother did, actually. One or the other, anyway.
The first time I remember, I was about five or six at school.
Probably from my sister, I think.
I guess I was about 5 years old and living in New Zealand, and I went to a Catholic primary school.
I first heard about Jesus sitting next to my granny in Bethel Church when I was probably four or maybe five.
I first heard about Jesus when I was singing a song called Jesus Loves You, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So. It was a song we were taught at Sunday school, and that's the first time I remember mentioning Jesus' name.
I probably first heard about Jesus at school, doing a nativity play.
I think it must have been at church when I was about five or six.
At home. From parents and grandmother, particularly my grandmother.
It was probably at junior school, because we used to have school assemblies, but then I also went to a Sunday school.
I think it was probably when I was at nursery school, because I remember singing Away in a Manger.
Well, it was when I was a young child, probably at school, in school assemblies.
Well, outside the school gate, when my children were little, and my dear friend, who were Christians a year before me, they told me about Christ.
Church, St. Peter's, West Montfort.
I grew up with him. I was a cradle Christian, because my parents, grandparents, they'd all been Christians. So I don't know of a time when I wasn't, but I didn't know him.
Well, through my parents, through my mother particularly, and then I went to Scripture Union when I was seven.
Very early bedtime stories with my father.
All my life I've known about Jesus.
I was in high school and the church started talking about Jesus.
Through my infant school.
My mother was a Catholic and she sent me to a very sweet little Sunday school in our area.
I first heard about Jesus from a church youth worker who used to come in each week to lead assemblies in my primary school.
Wasn't that great? Did you enjoy that? It was lovely just to hear everyone's different stories. And what's interesting is that having heard about Jesus all those different ways, all those different places, and then we've all ended up here as part of this family. And I noticed, you will have noticed some things through that as well. But I noticed the importance of family, not just parents and grandparents, but aunts and uncles and siblings and children. The importance of church, and particularly Sunday school, of course, and school more broadly, even nativity services getting a mention, singing hymns and songs as well, playing a role. But most of us have heard about Jesus through one of these ways. And today, Jesus is calling us to continue the work that he started, that we've benefited from. And you might be thinking, well, who, me? And Jesus is saying, yes, you. And me, for that matter. But the good news is that we're able to continue that work as a church because we're involved with families, with junior church, the links with local schools, of course. But things have changed a bit, haven't they? Don't you think? From that time when, you know, not everyone hears from their family because not all families have Christians in them. Not everyone goes to Sunday school anymore the way they used to. Not all schools teach about being a follower of Jesus. And this represents a real challenge to us, doesn't it? So how are we to go about making disciples as Jesus instructs us to in this place at this time? And I believe the second reading from Peter, which is on page 232, if you want to follow it, contains some really helpful advice. Just at the start of this, Jesus promised that he would be with us to the end of the age. And at the start of this passage, as it happens, Peter reminds us that at that end of the age is coming. There's an urgency in responding to Jesus' call. Now, on the face of it, this passage is primarily about how we respond to God's grace and look after fellow believers. But the principles apply equally well to how we look after people who are not yet what you might call a committed Christian, a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ. And I've summarized them as pray from verse 7, love and serve from verses 8 to 11, and speak in verse 11. So pray, love and serve, speak. These are the things in the toolkit. They're all vital to faithfully living out our Christian life, building up the church and carrying out Jesus' instruction to go and make disciples. Just a couple of thoughts on each. Pray. Peter reminds us to take prayer seriously so we can have an effective prayer life. Not to try and do everything in our own strength, but to ask for his help and allow him to work in and through us. Now, of course, this week, many of us have been praying as part of thy kingdom come. Have you been doing that? It's not too late to start if you haven't. There are little bookmarks in the vestibule to help act as a reminder. Please do take one. Karen and I were listening to someone speak last week who prays for 35 individual people every single day that God will put in their hearts a desire to find out more about him. And this week we're being encouraged to focus on five. Five. But please don't feel constrained if there are more that you want to pray for. Because it starts with prayer, but it doesn't end with prayer. It's about spending time, and this is what Peter is telling us, about spending time with people, showing them that you care, serving each other in God's strength so that he gets the glory, and starting with each other in church, widening the circle to include people who are not part of the church. So, for example, wasn't it great to see people from the wider village community at the Christian Aid quiz evening on Friday and really enjoying it, really feeling part of the family? A lot of this already happens in the village, and I guess this passage, these two passages actually, reinforce for us just how important that is. And then, so that's pray, love and serve, and speak. And when the opportunity presents itself, so important is being prepared to speak. Not in our own strength, but as Peter says, as if speaking the very words of God. I found that quite a daunting thing to read just before I came to talk to you, because it is quite a challenge, isn't it? But nevertheless, I think it's a reminder of the fact that God will use us and speak through us as he wants to. A couple of weeks ago, Philip reminded us of another passage from Peter. This is 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always. We've heard that word a few times this morning, haven't we, as well? I will always be with you. Always be prepared to give an answer. So how powerful that message is when things are going really well for us. And what a powerful witness when we're going through really hard times too. The limitless grace of God in our lives, the power of God to forgive and to save, a message that must be shared. It's good news, it must be shared. And I'm sure that we can all think about a personal testimony of someone that's had a powerful impact on us. Let's share it. So I suppose the call to action at the end of this is this. Let's make a commitment today that we will respond to that call to go and make disciples. That we will pray, love and serve, and speak to God's glory. I think over to us. Amen.